Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
Yeah. How good to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you for the 3 hours that head towards kickoff. Gold Coast taking on Newcastle. Peter Sterling, of course, will join us at 2:30 to preview that game and so much more. New South Wales State of Origin coach Brad Fittler. He is also on the agenda, and Mal Meninga will join us to talk Cam Smith, who, of course, was the shock announcement of the week, his retirement, effective immediately from all representative football. Gentlemen, lovely to have your company. Wendell, once again, there's a story to your appearance. What's going on, fella?
Oh, no, we're here at 12 o'clock, we're on.
You got here at 11:59.
Oh, mate.
Tell me.
Can I tell you, it's been a tough week in the Saylor household.
Uh-oh.
So someone's had a major operation.
Mm-hmm.
So I stood up, being the sort of person that I am, and it's probably worn me down a bit by the end of the week.
Right. When you say someone, what is it, the sausage dog? Or
yeah, Dobby. Dobby got dissexed. So
got the snip.
Yeah.
He took away his manhood.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to.
Why'd you do that?
Mate, I didn't make the decision.
Did Dobby make the decision?
I don't want to use it as a sort of, so I haven't sort of been myself like last couple of days.
But for the entire week, because your dog was dissexed.
Yeah. No. Then so yesterday I was running around doing what I do, you know, but like, Matisse and Epp on that. Anyway, so I get home and I just sort of relax, you know, and I probably relax too much. I get up this morning, 6:37. Oh, God, couldn't find my key.
Really?
So it's one of those like old school ones, not the new ones where it's sort of the electronic stuff.
Couldn't find your car key.
Couldn't find my car key.
When was the last time you saw it? In the basket in the middle of that table?
No,
at
no.
That weird party?
No.
Oh, it was in the fruit bowl time.
When I got home, the halftime of the Parramatta game, when they were getting booed, and I just sort of relaxed. It was big Dell's time. So Tara sort of said to me in the morning, she goes, "You know what key is, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." You know when you sort of know, but you don't know.
Obviously,
I didn't know. So at 7:45, I had to call my car sponsor. Couldn't find it. So I got up at 6:30, looked everywhere, backtracked. So my car sponsor, he's at Camden, he was asleep. So I got a mate to drop me a spare key at about 10:15 because that was my last hurrah. So a mate of mine has done that for me,
yeah,
and I've got here just on time. So that mate of mine,
that's
Michael.
That's what friends are for, Wendell.
You know what? If you need anything, mate, I got you, brother.
Yeah, you'd repay that sort of favour.
You know what else? And Tara Saylor, if you're listening, I don't want to hear "I told you so," okay?
Can you tell us, I mean, obviously, you said it's a disruptive week with your sausage dog being dissexed.
Yeah.
How did that alter your week at all? What did you have to go through that was different this week than last week?
Well, I couldn't leave him home by himself because Tristan was at training, Matisse is at school. The big man, even though I went to Melbourne and did some work stuff, when I came home, I had to look after him.
What do you mean you can't leave him? Can't you just put one of those big lampshades on their head?
I don't know if you've ever seen a sausage dog or had one. Mate, they're very needy. They're like little kids. So, actually, you know what? A lot like me. I'm serious. So that's what we get along really well. So, I feel for him. It must be pretty sore.
All the best, Dobby.
Yeah.
Thinking about
all the best, Dobby. Yeah,
good to be here, boys.
Yeah. This has been great footy last night. Obviously, the Broncos and the Roosters. I really enjoyed that game. 28-22, the young Broncos prevailed in Brisbane. Terrific game. I'm going to get to that in detail because there's some controversy going on as well as the great stuff, isn't there?
One of the best games of the season, Tone, but obviously the controversy is Dylan Napa being sent to the sin bin for 10 minutes. A lot of people saying it's a joke. Got to say, I must agree with him
100%.
Being sent to the bin in relation to that, but it should have been a penalty. And certainly I don't think that it had a huge influence on the final result of the game.
All right. Well, we're going to hear from Gordon Tallis, who certainly wasn't happy with that from the call last night. We'll also hear from Trent Robinson, the Roosters coach, his take on that. 133353 is our number. If you want to get involved, you are more than welcome to do so as well. It's Saturday Triple M NRL. plenty to get to. The game last night, as I see the Tyre Power scoreboard, the Broncos 28, the Roosters 22. Just a cracking game of footy. There was, of course, along with the brilliant performances on the field, there was some controversy. Now, we are going to get into this immediately, the Dylan Napa sin binning after collecting Corbin Sims with his head. Just before we have a chat about it, boys, I wouldn't mind listening to Gordy Tallis as he called the game at Triple M last night.
He can't go for 10 minutes.
It's a head clash. It's an accidental head clash.
He is led with the head in a dangerous fashion.
Oh, my God. That is ridiculous.
It's on report and he's in the bin.
Oh, what?
That is ridiculous.
That's got to be talking about.
I've had enough. Do you know what? Duff is spending for Origin. He was. There's a conspiracy right now.
Wowee,
I'll
tell you what.
Needs to be sacked.
Yes, there he is.
How does
Gordy
he get to Origin? I know, straight away.
Channeling Jeff Toovey with you, that is ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
What no conspiracy theory?
He wants an investigation.
Yeah, he does.
New South Wales somehow made Dylan Napa sprint out of the line and, you know, lead with his head.
Correct. He doesn't believe man's walked on the moon. He's got all sorts of conspiracy theories. Yeah. All right, now, look, this is something that obviously has riled up more people than just Gordon Tallis and more than just about Origin. What did you make of it? It was obviously a crucial call towards the end of a very, very close game of footy.
Yeah, great game of footy. And look, I thought that I didn't think it warranted 10 minutes in the sin bin, but I thought it was careless, borderline sort of reckless, you know, and I thought that it needed a penalty and put on report, and that was it. But I didn't think, you know, there was no intent. So I don't see the benefit of you know, putting him in the sin bin for 10 minutes. I'm not sure what that was all about. But, you know,
but
all of a sudden they had 12
players.
He's
launched himself at an opponent recklessly, I would have thought.
Yeah.
I mean, surely there's only one result from that, and it's going to be ugly, and it was.
Tony was going in, the way I saw it, I felt Dylan Napa, look, he's an aggressive style of a player, and he's going in to use his left shoulder and try and put a big shot on, which is what Dylan tries to base his game around, is that style of play.
Yeah, he hit Matt Lodge earlier beautifully.
That's right. Mm. And look, the timing was slightly off, and not only that.
But Corbin moved too.
Corbin Sims stepped off his right foot and contributed to the head clash as well. So, look, it was ugly. No two ways about it. It was a bad look for the game, and you don't like seeing anyone on the ground injured after a head knock like that. But I think you've got to put it in context.
Yeah, I'm with you. Penalty sufficient. You know, accidental head clash. But I've seen Dylan Napa launch himself a few times like that. But it's a game of inches where it can go wrong like that, dude. And I feel sorry for Corbin.
He needs to be accountable. I mean, the defender needs to be accountable. The same as, you know, when guys go in and someone slips over and they've sort of launched themselves. And unfortunately, if someone in the wrong condition slips over and they cop an arm or a shoulder, it's normally not an illegal tackle. But if it becomes, you know, the onus is on the defender to get it right. And unfortunately, last night, with all the circumstances taken into consideration, Dylan got it wrong and he paid the price.
And Gordy really didn't like the refereeing decision. I should just read from the player misconduct here, and we're talking about rules. A player is guilty of misconduct if he, when affecting or attempting to affect a tackle, makes contact with the head or neck of an opponent intentionally, recklessly or carelessly. Mm-hmm. Now, in these circumstances, a penalty kick shall be awarded, but at the discretion of the referee, a sin binning is also appropriate. So in the rules of the game, absolutely appropriate action from the referee.
Look, Jared Sutton is entitled to make that call, Tony, as you've just pointed out. And I think if we go back to last year, there was that shot from Cesar Soliola on Billy Slater that ultimately saw Cesar suspended for, I believe it was five.
Oh, okay.
Towards the back end of the season. And I know that the competition committee of the NRL, which obviously has people like Mal Meninga, we're going to speak to him later, and Ivan Cleary and Paul Green and those sorts of coaches on it, they discussed the fact that in that particular instance, there was no penalty against the Raiders, even though one of their players had been involved in an act of foul play. Billy Slater had to go off and took no further part in the game. Cesar Soliola stayed on the field for the rest of that match. And I know that that was discussed, and it was suggested that if an instance like that was to come up again, then the referee should look at possibly using the sin bin. So Jared Sutton's made that call last night.
Are you comparing those two?
No, I'm not at all. I'm not at all, because Billy was slipping in that incident. And not only that, but it was quite a malicious swinging arm from Sir Soliola, whereas I don't think you can compare with the Dylan Napa incident. But what I am saying is, as Tony read from the rule book, it is in there, and they have discussed it at NRL headquarters.
Do you think then, following up on Gordon Tallis's idea, that there will be the judiciary will be obviously put together of all New South Wales, former New South Wales players, and Dylan Napa will be given, what, how many weeks does he need? 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
So he misses State of Origin 1. Is this a scenario you see happening, playing out, Del? You're a Queenslander.
Yeah, look, you know, you guys, you're really trying to kick us this week. You know, the Cam Smith thing, and this is what's going to happen.
We're trying to kick you because Cam Smith.
Yeah, you sort of. Yeah, because
football.
Like, you know, he's a gloating and carrying on like he's a, you know, oh, coming
short.
Yeah,
how many of the last series have you won?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably the last 3 or 4 or something, or one out of 15 or something. Yeah,
but isn't it 11 out of the last 12?
Oh yeah, no, something like that.
Have you seen us gloating?
No one's gloating, Wendell.
No one's gloating. But there's a sense of confidence about you blokes.
No, there's not. You've still got Billy Slater's the Australian fullback. Mm. Greg Inglis is a future immortal. Mm. Dane Gagai was player of the series last year. Will Chambers plays for Australia. Josh Maguire plays for Australia.
Cam Smith,
Matt Scott's the best prop in the competition for the last 5 years.
But Cam Smith, he's the best at what he does, not just on the field, but off the field with the way... You know, carries the boys.
You can't do it, Wendell. We'll get to Cam Smith in more detail briefly. The other thing I loved about last night's game of football was we talked a bit this year how wingers seem to be getting all the big raps. Centres don't get so much as they used to.
Yeah.
Two centres stood up and put on a show last night. In the first half, Latrell Mitchell, just the bump, the step, the feint, the show of the hand, just brilliant, got around Roberts. The second half, totally turned around. James Roberts, with that pace and evasive nature of his game, was sensational. It was captivating, wasn't it?
Absolutely scintillating, Tone, to watch from a fan's point of view. It really was just superb football. I look at Latrell Mitchell, he's like a Ferrari, the way that he can change pace and then just bang, accelerate, blistering acceleration off the mark and he's gone. And then James Roberts, well, he's a big V8 Ford Mustang. He's so powerful and so strong, and I can't recall seeing another try like that this season where a moment of individual brilliance out of nothing and bang, he was gone.
Well, mate, for the Broncos fans... you know, that's what they know that James Roberts can do. He probably doesn't do it often enough, but, you know, they've switched him, you know, to the right side there. But even he was injured in that first half. You know, he's been a few niggling injuries. What I liked about halftime, he reassessed where he was at. Latrell sort of went hard at him in the first half. They've got a really good they're going head-to-head a fair bit now. And also, I love that Latrell doesn't take a backward step. You know, he's sort of, even though he's a younger bull, they go head-to-head. But that try scored in the second half, James Roberts, that was Steve Renoff-like. You know, and I just, when he just gassed and then he just went, I thought he's going to go all the way here. And just to see him move, that's why you pay those blokes big dollars. And, mate, on the Origin stage, mate, I'd like to see someone like him there in Latrell. So... Freddie's got a good headache.
Yeah, he does. We'll speak to Freddie, as we said, a little bit later on. Obviously, Ryan Girdley, you having worn a centre's jersey, a blue one, for State of Origin many times. We got your State of Origin side last week. You and Aitkins, you thought. But when you see what happened last night, right side Roberts, left side Latrell Mitchell, does it look good?
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it was very exciting. But look, Ewan Aitken, you know, hasn't done anything wrong either, and he's got a chance to state his case tomorrow. And then I think next week they play... Penrith out there on a Saturday evening, where he'll probably come up against the Peach, who's another guy that's in line for a jersey. And you know, I firmly believe that, you know, Freddie's got a really open mind at the moment, and his side's probably, you know, changing little by little every week, and he's going to pick guys on form. And as Wendell said, he's going to have some headaches, and there's going to be some people that get left out that probably think they should have been in there, or some people think they should have, but you can't pick them all. But last night, those two guys certainly put their best foot forward.
But even Luke Keary, I think, you know, they were talking about Moses, and obviously Moses didn't have his best game last night, and I don't know, it might be a bit of a smokescreen there by James Maloney, because, mate, he's certainly one of the first picked.
It's their strength, though. I mean, Queensland are going to be strong all over the field, as they are every year, but, I mean, you think about, you know, their outside backs, the ones that Hoops just went through, and those combinations that have been there for long periods of time. Yeah. So... Freddie needs to also consider defensively. You know, you make a poor read or you get something wrong at that level and you get punished for it. So he's got a lot of things to take into consideration.
All right, I want to talk a bit more about the Broncos and the Roosters. But before we move too far past the Dylan Napa incident, Justin has called 133353. G'day, mate.
How you going, boys?
Yeah, good. What are your thoughts?
Mate, I just think it's a horrible decision. If Dylan Napa had went unconscious, what would happen? It'd be accidental head clash. They'd both be laying on the ground and would be playing a knock on.
That's a fair point. It's
well, they could still deem, even if he was injured.
It's the same as with Cameron Smith last week, you know, with we see so many people go in and pull the leg, but if someone gets injured or there's, you know, there's a some sort of casualty because of it, well, then obviously they've been making decisions based on injuries for years. They say that they don't, but they essentially they do.
They do, absolutely they do. And look, Justin makes a fair point, but it's hard to deal in hypotheticals. It really is, because that's not how it unfolded.
Yeah, all right. Well, those Broncos, a young team under a little bit of pressure, they came through. Wendell, were you impressed by what you saw?
Yeah, I was. I mean, you know, especially young Stags, when he came on there, you know, Opacek got injured really early, and I was sitting there watching with my young bloke, and Tristan goes, "Oh, Dad, I play with this young kid." They went on tour, the Indigenous tour, and he reckons he can play just about anywhere. But just the confidence to step up and do what he did, you know, he didn't care, and that's what these young guys do. And I feel sorry for Payne Huss, you know, I think he's going to have an operation as well. Same when he debuted, you know, but that's the confidence that's coming through now. I think the NRL, but also with the Broncos, if Wayne puts you in that 17, you know, you got a job to do.
And the Roosters, Gerds?
Yeah, look, I saw the second half because we called that first.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think they were obviously probably the better side in the first half from what I can gather. And the second half, well, they were just – I like the way that they've changed their attack. You know, it's probably not as – it's going to take a few weeks yet to sort of click into full swing. But I like the fact that Tedesco's getting a lot of football. I like – you know, I saw the highlights of what Mitchell did in the first half and his combination with Keary. And I like the fact that they've been brave in the – regards to their coaching staff of making those sort of, you know, wholesale changes at this stage of the year when they realise that what they were doing wasn't working and they've stripped it right back. And I think that, you know, I might have got the points last night, but in the coming weeks we're going to see a pretty strong. And I think the players showed their appreciation with the change last week against the Warriors where they looked like they really went out there and enjoyed that style. So they put in a great performance last night. They didn't get the cash, but I think they're headed in the right direction.
What are they doing differently, Gerds, in terms of their attack? Is it a matter of playing a lot squarer and playing a lot more direct as opposed to the structure and those sweep plays? Or
well, they're playing every play, you know. So when someone moves forward with the football, there's people around him. And so they're not working to certain parts of the field and then looking for those big sweep plays where they have those lead runners. And the defensive, you know, sides know they've been doing that for years now and they're trained for that. So they identify those sort of situations and they handle them pretty well. But the Roosters last night, you can see all their forwards running with, you know, a little option to tip on there and on the back of a quick play of the ball, usually in the centre of the field, you got Keary left and you had Kronk right and Tedesco floating in between. And the defence doesn't know which way they're going to go and how they're going to play. And that's
I tell you what they are doing, Gerds. They're working on it because I happened to cross three gentlemen at About Life in Bondi Junction during the week, eating a very healthy meal. And it was Cooper Kronk, Luke Keary and James Tedesco. And Keary said, "Yeah, just the brains trust." Just having a little meal together to talk about how they go about things. So,
what were you having at About Life, Tone?
You know, I was going across the road to the pub, but they certainly were.
You're going for the cacao balls.
Exactly.
Again.
Great game of footy. Great game of footy. Bummer for poor old Mitchell Orbison, who played his 250th game, has lost his 50th, 100th, 150th, 200th, and 250th now.
That,
so,
do you reckon he'll get to 299? They'll stand him down.
If it's a big game.
Would you play him in a grand final if it was on 299?
Probably not. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. And remember, you can hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. Just download that Triple M NRL app. We will speak to Mal Meninga in the next hour about Cameron Smith. Of course, a man who's had a great deal to do with State of Origin and for the Kangaroos. But it was on Tuesday morning that the news started to filter through that there was a press conference at 1 o'clock. At Melbourne Storm headquarters, that Kevvy Walters would also be there. And it was, as we've now learnt, that Cameron Smith decided to pull the pin on his representative career effective immediately, citing obviously wanting to have more time with family, but also the difficulty that is that you have to commit obviously physically and mentally so heavily in a state of origin. He was finding it last year for the first time that backing up for the Storm was problematic. So he decided to pull the pin. Now, I don't know about you, but it was a massive surprise. Wendell Saylor, as a Queensland legend yourself, were you surprised at the timing of it and the fact that it actually happened?
Yeah, look, 100% I was, especially the way, I suppose, when Cam Smith is so calculating on the way that he does things, whether it's playing football, whether it's with the media and stuff. And just, I just didn't expect that. You know, even when it leaked through, I'm just thinking, oh, he might be going to announce that, you know, he's going to, this is his last year at football or something. And then obviously I was reading a few social media things a bit bigger than that. And I got myself in front of the TV, and I was shattered. But I can totally understand, because Remember Frankie Barrett told me a story about when he was at Melbourne, and then he likes to back up. You know, even at the Broncos, Wayne Bennett's rule is, you know, if you back up, it makes you mentally, you know, stronger. And then Cameron Smith's always been that sort of player. And I just thought, you know, with the blokes who are retiring, that he'd just, he'd finish this year. But, yeah, I nearly fell off my chair, you know, when he said it was as of now. I know the World Cup would have taken a bit out of him. I can understand that. Yeah, and I was a bit gutted. But, look, what Cam's done for Queensland, mate, he can do whatever he wants. And he's been, him and Wally Lewis have been two of the greatest Queenslanders ever.
Hoops, timing of it, surprise you?
Bombshell announcement, Tone, absolutely. Look, you know, we were all led to believe that it was going to be a press conference where 3 weeks out from the opening game at the MCG, Kevvy Walters and Cameron Smith were going to be promoting the start of the series. Cameron's been the face of all the marketing around that match particularly, but also the series in general. So, yeah, look, it really did sideswipe everybody out of left field. Big, big call. And obviously you have to respect Cameron's decision because, as Wendell just touched on, you know, I think Wally Lewis won 8 Man of the Match awards in State of Origin. Cameron Smith won 7.
Yeah.
He won 4 Wally Lewis medals as the best player in the series. He's some of the things that he did at State of Origin, just sublime. So you got to just sit back and respect him.
Yeah, he had a sore rotator cuff, obviously, from lifting that shield year after year after year after year. Look, it's been an amazing career representative, obviously, both in the Kangaroos and Queensland. It's not, even though Brad Fittler, of course, was in Melbourne at the time, I think Greg Alexander and Danny Badiris, the rest of the New South Wales Brains Trust was also there. They were going to Melbourne Storm training, speak to Craig Bellamy, weren't aware of what was going on.
Yeah, the ironic element about that, Tony, they were actually at the Melbourne Storm headquarters and watching the Storm train at Gosh's Park, which is next door to Amy Park. And Cameron Smith got all the players into a huddle, and Brandy and Freddie and Danny Badiris are also going, oh, I wonder what's going on here. I wonder what he's saying here. And what he was doing was he's actually telling the players, hey, fellas, wow, I'm about to make an announcement. I'm with you blokes for the rest of the season. I'm not going to go and play in the Origin series. So yeah, it was a big, big
massive
call.
It's a very good news story for Melbourne, obviously, for them through the State of Origin period. What about, though, for Queensland? Now, Freddie has said that it makes it harder. I can't see how it makes it harder. It's not going to be easy, but I don't think this makes it a harder thing. Who are you, Wendell Saylor, before I get to you, Gertz, who are you putting in the number 9 for Queensland now?
Yeah, look, the last couple of years, is, you know, I think Granville's played some good football, but he's waned a bit. Drake Friend, he seems to be playing a bit busted. I think, for me, Andrew McCullough. I think McCullough, he deserves an opportunity. I don't know, suppose, out of dummy half if he's got that speed and that, but I think he's tough enough, and I think he deserves first crack, you know. And then we'll take it from there. I know it'd be easy to throw Ben Hunt in there and to put Michael Morgan and Munster in the halves and then put Callum Ponga on the bench. I know that'd be the right way to go, or a way to go. But I reckon, you know, it's Origin's tough football, and I reckon Andrew McCullough, he's done his time, and I reckon he deserves first crack.
Andrew McCullough,
yeah.
Gerds?
They need a goal kicker.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest problems now.
Yeah.
Holmes can kick, but Cherry Evans could be an option as well. He's obviously kicking at the moment for Manly, so they could do, you know, find a spot for him in there. But, yeah, you'd think McCullough. I haven't given it a lot of thought, but, yeah, probably McCullough or Friend.
Do you care?
Not particularly.
No, that's all right. I can understand that.
They've got good options, though. Look,
yeah.
They have got
some quality players.
They have got it's a tough decision, but at the same time, They do have a variety of options. You could maybe play, if you want to go really left field, you could maybe play Daly Cherry Evans at number 9. We saw Jeff Toovey do it for New South Wales many years ago. Ben Hunt can play 9. McCulloch's a damn good player.
Yeah.
Friend won't let you down. You touched on Jake Granville as well, yeah. Wendell. So there are, it's not as though you're bereft of,
yeah,
of choices.
But you know what I think people, and I know people realise, but, you know, I was lucky enough to be part of that Origin camp just doing the media stuff and showing sponsors that around, and just the way that Cameron Smith just holds court, even at training, you know, they come in those bikes and that, and just even with the fans and stuff, and he's always last to leave. Him and JT are there, and just he's got such a presence about him away from the footy field as well, and just with the boys, I've seen him in the Origin dressing room, you know, before they're about to run out, and just the way that he speaks, he just doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah, so you're saying you're no-show now, Queensland, in the State of Origin?
Oh, I think we're going to do it a lot tougher. I think if New South Wales picked the right team, I think we could lose this series. I'm being honest, yeah.
See, well, Kevin Walters, he was hilarious at the media conference as well, just brilliant. But when Cam Smith said, when he made the decision and told Kevin, it was just a weight off his shoulders, and Kevin said, yeah, it was a weight on mine.
Yeah, 100%.
Just, I mean, as a coach, obviously, having the guy like him around is going to be helpful, but they are. It's perfect timing for Queensland now to say, oh, well, everything's against us.
Yeah. But they say that every year anyway, Tony. They always go in as underdogs, so they'll find a way again, but... you know, it's an opportunity, I guess. You know, we saw in 2000 when Queensland had to go through that transition period. And since that, like, obviously 2003, then they've had that sort of core group together and they've been so successful. So at every now and again, you need to go through a rebuilding phase. And I think, you know, New South Wales are probably looking at it a little bit the same. And maybe we're going to see two, you know, sort of kind of new look sides go into it with, especially in key positions, you know, new sets of halves for both sort of teams, and then now some new dummy halves and all that sort of stuff. So I think it's exciting for the game, but I don't think it really gives New South Wales an advantage, because I think we're going to see a lot of change for both outfits.
Yeah, cannot wait, and also can't wait for that chat we will have with Brad Fittler. 2 o'clock, make sure you are listening. We'll talk about all things Origin with the New South Wales coach, Cameron Smith. Well played. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M NRL. James Hooper, you have some breaking news.
Yeah, the match review committee have reviewed last night's games, Tony, and no charges. So Dylan Napa, Gordy's conspiracy theory about him being rubbed out of Origin, off the mark.
Ah, 3 weeks Napa, you thought he was
Queensland
get...
panel members. Michael Buten has changed his allegiance.
Oh, that's good. That's, you know, common sense has prevailed then.
Well, so, yeah, we can say...
They've obviously deemed sin bin sufficient.
I don't think you deserved to miss an Origin over that incident by any means. So, I mean, you know, I don't think there's going to be anyone kicking up too many...
Well, given that
he
got sin bin, I felt as though, do they take that into consideration?
Well, they must, and they lost the game, and whether that had any bearing on it, I mean, they're playing with 12 men.
Yeah.
Well, if they think that's that, I guess that penalty is sufficient, they could well decide that way. That seems that's the way they have gone.
One of the all-time interviews, too, when Dylan Napa, he's pretty relaxed, I would have liked to know what he would have had to say about it today.
Absolutely. Could have been fruity. The other Friday night football game, as a look at the Taipower scoreboard, the Warriors beat the Eels 24-14. Just about every week we've been saying, gee, it's tough now for the Eels, it's tough now for the Eels. Well, it's tough now for the Eels. Still only 2 W's to their name for this season.
I'll go even further, Tony. They were awful last night, Parramatta. What could go wrong? They found a way to make it go wrong.
They hit hard hoops. They tried hard. Well, but the mistake rate was awful.
They're with the benefit of hindsight, their recruitment, they brought in Jared Hayne and they brought in Kane Evans. And, you know, I know you can't help injuries. It's bad luck involved there. But, you know, Jared's been on the sidelines and Kane Evans isn't playing NRL. And, it, I don't know, it looks like it's tough times at Parramatta.
So what do they do now? I mean, is it just that? I mean, obviously they're still thinking Brad Arthur's still not going to give up on this.
They can't make the finals.
And they're
flat out avoiding the wooden spoon the way that they're playing at the moment.
There's things in that game, as we said, there were, you know, plenty of hard hits, plenty of effort going into it, but it's when the entire team seems to be suffering from Corey Norman not finding touch with a penalty, and then kicks out on the full,
and then, you know, the Jennings brothers making errors coming out of their own end. I mean, so effort, you know, it's not the effort areas that they're falling down on, it's just execution, but... I was just impressed with the Warriors last night. You know, I mean, they had plenty of excuses and they could have lost that game, but they didn't. They hung in there. Parramatta came out in the second half and Moses started running the football and they had a lot of the momentum. They had, I think, 56% of the football for the entire game. So there was plenty of opportunities. They got in the lead and then it was probably a little bit of a lucky bounce that they got off of Blake Green kick, who was really good again last night, along with, you know, Harris and Luke, all the usual suspects. But I thought it was just the way that they just hung in that game when, you know, they could have sort of laid down there, the Warriors, and then found a way to win in the dying stages just kind of sums up their season. And they're a good side, and I've been saying it now for a while. They go into Origin, and we see what's happened with Cameron Smith now, not putting himself through, you know, the what Origin is for those 6 weeks, and then they always talk about the emotional scarring, win, lose, or draw, and the physical scarring coming out of it. So it can take up a good, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of your season. Well, these guys don't going to have to deal with any of that.
No.
The Warriors now, they skip along with that win. Next week, off they go. I think they got the Rabbitohs, so that's a good test for them next week. And then in through Origin, where they won't be affected. So they're in a position now to consolidate.
They got the test in Denver,
but then they got a real opportunity. Like, by the end of Origin, they should have consolidated a top four spot. They really should have.
Yeah, they have been great. Even Mason Lenoir, of course, stood in for Sean Johnson. He was terrific again last night. He was great. Isaac Luke was brilliant. Oh. What do we make, though? I mean, there's all sorts of things that are going on in the game that are horrible to watch. One of them at the moment is the notion that if somebody's in the ruck lying down, like Isaac Luke was last night, and that Will Smith then deliberately just passes the ball, throws the ball onto the ground, into that player, to milk a penalty. Why isn't that just play on? I mean, there's no way Isaac Luke is lying flatted on the ground. He's not paying any part in what is going on.
Yeah, I know. I think, look, players know they can get away with it unless they draw a line in the sand and just the refs and that just go either six to go or just play on. You're going to have to put something down. But if they keep penalising them, you're going to keep doing it. It's just, it's too easy. You know, we see it like twice a game, you know, easy.
We don't want to bang on and about the rest. I mean, it hasn't been a great start to the round for them. But I believe they just need to take control back. They need total autonomy of the middle of the field. And they haven't got it at the moment. And the players are taking advantage. You see it with whether they're marched for 10 minutes or where they walk off. I tell you if Billy Harrigan sent me for 10 minutes in the bin and I was walking off like that, he would have run up next to me and said, get off or you can stay off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And these are the decisions, and it's the whole thing. And the referees, you get a player down and he sits there and he's lacing up his boot or whatever it may be, and the referees just let it all go. Get over there and say, mate, get out the back. I'm getting on with the game. I mean, it's the players are taking the piss at the moment of the referees in all different areas. And Will Smith did it last night. Yep. And again, the referees run over and they give him a penalty. They play the game. Mm-hmm. There's only one way to get that out, and that's the referees take a bit of a stand on the field, get out there, referee with some confidence, and start making some decisions and take control of the game back.
I like the idea that if you get binned and you decide that you want to make it the never-ending story by taking 45 seconds or a minute or whatever, no dramas, that gets added to your 10 minutes by the time you... So if you take a minute to walk off, if you want to drag it out, they've got to try and find a solution that nips it in the bud quicker than that anyway, faster than that. But the minute that you sim bin, you should just run off. And it's to the, closest sideline. They always go for the furthest side.
Of course they do.
Just go for the closest.
Yeah. And the same as with Jimmy Moran.
And walk of shame covered off the crowd.
On Thursday night, like early on in that game, the Tigers had all the football. They were pressing Penrith's line. And Maloney's sort of, Jimmy, he's within his right to stand out there. And if the referee wants to call him warn him, and he doesn't want to calm or whatever it may be, well, then just call the game on. And next time, if you send someone for 10, if you put someone in the bin for 10,
Jimmy Maloney,
the referee then needs to go, well, I tried to tell you, mate, but you didn't want to come in, so your play is gone. They just need to, I don't know, they just need to grow some. Yeah. Tone.
You're absolutely right. All right.
Grow some Dobbies.
With that result, as I said, the Warriors.
Poor Dobby.
Oh, no, poor Dobby.
Can we get some music for Dobby?
Oh.
He's lost his manhood over the week.
For those who just joined us, Dobby is Wendell Saylor's dog who has sadly lost his manhood.
You'll never be the same.
No, he won't be.
What would you like to say to Dobby Wendell? Would you like to apologise?
It wasn't my fault, Dobby, you know.
But obviously you'd lost yours because you couldn't stand up and make that decision.
Oh! I told you, I've got no pull in the sailor, asshole.
I've had mine done too, Dobby, and, you know, it takes a couple of weeks, but you get used to it.
Yeah, I think Tristan's had his done the way that his girlfriend's got him. Yeah.
Yeah, did. Poor Dobby, just like me. I'm just scratching curtains, sitting around with a rug over my knees. The ladder, thank you for the music. Is beautiful.
Yeah, keep looking down there too.
Given that the Warriors are terrific when they are travelling beautifully, as a look at the ladder, thanks to EWFW Consulting Engineers, they now sit at the top with the Dragons and the Panthers, all on 16 points. Obviously, the Dragons have got that game in hand. Still got plenty to come. The best of the best, thanks to Mungle Boots, is on its way. And now, just a reminder, Brad Fittler will also join us. Mal Meninga to talk Cameron Smith and Sterlo as well. Stacks on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Just one more thing on the Warriors while we're here. They're playing great footy.
Yeah.
I'm liking what they're doing in terms of... They were so vocal last night. Whenever there was a turnover of the ball, a big hit, a try, anything like that, they were really into it. And I'm on board with their breathing technique after a try.
Should we try it?
Came through. Shall we?
Okay. Let's get into it. Okay, I'll start.
Yeah.
Kumbaya.
Just an open fire. I love
it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, good.
I really do. I hope they keep it up.
And it is absolutely working for them. All right, time now for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yeah, thanks to Mungrel Boots. Built for pure comfort, that's what a Mungrel boot is. Today's best of the best, very simple one for you, gentlemen. Rather than individual person, I want you to come up with the best of the best combination Who were the pairing that you played with or against, or you watched in your case, Hoops, that were just above the others, who worked together brilliantly for their team? I'm going to start with you, Mr. Sailor.
Oh, me. Why? Because I was late.
No, because I'm interested.
Okay. Look, mine's got a very Queensland feel to it. Like, that'll surprise you, won't it, Gerds?
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mate, there was no better combo when I came into rugby league than Kevvy Walters and Alan Langer.
Kevvy and Alf.
They were good. And you know what? Okay. Like, Alf gets a lot of credit, but Kevvy, unsung hero. Like, just, but not just even on the field, off the field as well. Good for team morale. But yeah, just love what they did.
What, as a twosome, they would go out off the field.
Oh, they just they'd gang up on you. Like, you know, if you've had an ordinary game, if Lockie dropped a couple bombs or missed a few tackles, they'd let you know. And they'd break it down. If we got flogged by Canterbury on Friday night, and they'd do some funny things. But on the field too, like, jeez. They just too so small in stature, but mate, both big hearts and play till the end.
And it was just a natural understanding rather than sitting down and planning it all out.
Yep.
It was there. Love it. Okay, Hoops.
So many brilliant ones over the years, Tim. We're only led one, is that right?
Yeah,
so
come on, mate.
You can give us some rules, you know, after Ryan.
Well, I mean, you
Ryan.
Touched on
Yeah, go on.
You touched on Kevvy and Alfie. Yes. I actually enjoyed watching the Wilders brothers play together a lot. Kerrod and Kevvy had a brilliant understanding and at representative level, Boxhead and Kevvy. Another halfback and hooker that were always fantastic to watch was Joey Johns and Danny Badiris.
Oh,
I'd have to say
that was good.
That was probably one of my all-time favourites. But then you can talk halfbacks and back rowers like a Joey and a Ben Kennedy or Ricky and Laurie at the Raiders.
Thurston,
fantastic.
Cooper,
JT and Cooper.
Yep. All those sorts of combinations, Tony. They're all fantastic partnerships.
Right, love it.
I'm going to go back a little bit and Peter Sterling and Brett Kenny.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, they were a great combination, weren't they?
Then were the days, weren't they, Pam?
Were you
real
thinking
fans?
Of them, Tad? Huh? Didn't you go back that far?
No, I went back further than that. I went Smith and Langlands, but I'm going to go.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant one. But even like the modern Joey Leilua and Rapana, BJ, they're brilliant. Brilliant on the side. All right, I love it. There you go. There are your...
Cleary Maloney.
Wow. It looked good in blue, wouldn't it?
That's early days.
We'll check that out with Brad Fittler just after two. Make sure you are listening for that one. Saturday, Triple M and RL. Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you. And remember, YouBet, your home for NRL betting in 2018. Head to youbet.com or download the YouBet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Jared Daffy joins us now. G'day, Daff.
Hello, Tony.
All right, well, heading towards kickoff, of course, the Titans and Newcastle on the Gold Coast. Titans, their recent record's pretty good, isn't it? Like three of the last four against the Knights. Is that how the punters are seeing it?
Well, it is now, actually. At the start of the week, the Titans open up the $2 outsiders, but every man and his dog wants a piece of them today, so much so that they're into clear favourites now at $1.77 and the Knights out to $2.10. So, yeah, any amount of support for the Titans to get the 2 points at home.
Plenty of try-scoring machines playing today. Jared, Kalen Ponga, who are the UBet punters sticking with?
Well, you just nailed one of them, Hoops. It's a wide-open field, but the two that they want to be on, there's one from each side, Anthony Don. He's a prolific try-scorer, isn't he? He's one of the $10 favourites, but Kalen Ponga, he can do no wrong in punters' eyes, and he's actually been the best back. He's at $11, but he's our worst result for the first try-scorer.
What about the Ross Dog?
The Ross Dog.
Yeah, Nathan Ross, mate. He's always thereabouts.
He's only $13.
Oh,
but,
yeah? Okay.
No friends at the moment.
Okay.
Hey, Daff, any change to the premiership market after the weekend? And what about those Panthers? Did they come in a little bit?
Well, they have, Gerds. They're into $9, but we still don't have any big takers for them. There's a lot of misbelievers out there. But the Storm currently favourites at $4.75 from the Dragons at $5.25. The Roosters spent the major portion of the week at around about that $7 mark. There's still that. The jury's out on that match last night. And the Warriors come back into $11 and Tigers. Well, they were 19, they're out to 29. But the Panthers, probably the biggest price move, but we haven't seen any money for them yet.
All right, as ever, Jared Daffy, thank you so much. YouBet, your home for NRL season 2018. Download the YouBet app today. Gamble responsibly. Yeah, that is the game we're heading towards. The Gold Coast taking on the Newcastle at Cbus Super Stadium. Bryce Cartwright, of course, after that hideous defensive lapse last week, was named 18th man rather than we originally thought he was going to stay in the 17. It's probably the right call, I would have thought.
Yeah, look, I'm a Bryce Cartwright fan. But just watching that play and just, it's not, I'm not saying that he's not trying, but it just looks like he wants to be somewhere else. I don't know whether he's injured or what it is, but you've got to try something. You know, he's one of their highest paid players. Very talented. It doesn't help, I suppose, moving him around a little bit, but that comes with the pay packet and that comes with his profile, I suppose.
Got to set some standards at the club, and he was interviewed last week, Garth Brennan. He basically said that Bryce is buoyant around training and everything's okay in relation to, you know, and I think everyone was a little bit concerned about what's going on with him because he's had some issues over the last 12 months. Right. So, but apparently everything's okay. So in that regard, well, then, you know, he's got to do better on weekends. And Garth's got to hold people accountable because they're the worst defensive side in the competition and they need to get off the bottom of the ladder. But they've had some good signings this week. There's been some good things happening up there. So that might just give them the little bit of inspiration they need.
Of course, we will preview that game with Peter Sterling, who joins us at 2:30 right after we do Peter Sterling Personal Mastermind. We are going to chat with Mal Meninga in about 15, 20 minutes, of course, about Cameron Smith, who is pulled out of rep footy immediately, the stock market, and what does the Fox say? All lie ahead on Saturday Triple M NRL.